Back again with John MacArthur in the Grace to You audio blog. If you haven't heard, there's a discussion underway at gty.org. When John is done, get the info on how to get involved.
The evolutionist, the naturalistic evolutionist says, and even the theistic evolutionist says, that things happen by chance. Chance. We get rid of the God of the Bible, we get rid of the God of Genesis, we get rid of the Creator, and then we've got chance. Now, this is a pretty interesting thing to think about. I have read this word chance over and over and over again in reading the writings of these people. And the myth that drives the whole evolutionary process, this entire unbiblical, irrational, immoral idea of evolution, the myth that drives it is the myth of chance. Chance. Chance is the cause. In contemporary science, chance takes on new meaning. They don't want God to be the cause, but something has to be the cause, so the cause is chance. But let me tell you about chance. Friends, chance doesn't exist. It's nothing. It's nothing. Chance is a word used to explain something else. But chance isn't anything. It's not a force. Chance doesn't make anything happen. Chance doesn't exist. It's only a way to explain something else. Chance didn't make you meet that person. You were going there when she was going there. That's why you met her. Chance didn't have anything to do with it because chance doesn't exist. It's nothing. But in modern evolution, it's been transformed into a force of causal power. It's been elevated from being nothing to being everything. Chance makes things happen. Chance is the myth that serves to undergird the chaos view of reality. I mean, this is so fraught with problems from a rational or philosophical viewpoint, you hardly know where to begin. How do you get the initial matter upon which chance operates? Where does that come from? You would have to say, well, chance made it appear. You know what? This sounds so ridiculous, and yet this is the undergirding philosophy behind evolution. It is completely incoherent and irrational. But the new evolutionary paradigm is chance. And it's the opposite of logic. You see, when you abandon logic, and logic says, oh, there's a universe. Somebody made it. What else would logic say? There's a building. Somebody made it. There's a piano. Somebody made it. There's a universe. More complex than a building, infinitely more complex than a piano. Somebody who's very, very powerful and very, very intelligent made it. You say no? No. Chance made it. Listen, folks, that's rational suicide. That's not logical. The logic abandoned leaves you with myth. And the enemies of mythology are empirical data and God-given reason. So in order to be an evolutionist and believe that chance makes things happen, you have to do two things. Reject the empirical data and be irrational. But if you love your sin enough, you'll do it. You see, if you can just eliminate the empirical data, the evidence, and get rid of God-given logic, and those two things are the essence of pure science, if you can get rid of those things, then mythology runs wild. And as one writer said, chance is the new soft pillow for science to lie down on. Arthur Kessler said, as long as chance rules, God is an anachronism. If chance rules, God can't rule. Chance deposes God. The very existence of chance rips God from his sovereign throne. If chance as a force exists even in the frailest form, God is ungodded, if there's such a word. Two are mutually exclusive. Either there is God who created the universe, who sovereignly rules and sovereignly controls, or there's not. If chance exists, it destroys God's sovereignty. If God is not sovereign, then he's not God. If he's not God, then there is no God. And chance rules. That's frightening. But chance is not a force. Chance can't make anything happen. Chance isn't anything. It doesn't exist. It has no power to do anything because it isn't anything. It's impotent because it's nothing. It has no power because it doesn't exist. Are you getting it? Since chance doesn't exist, it can't produce anything. It can't be the cause of any effect. Yet modern evolutionists talk about chance all the time. It's just nothing but hocus pocus. It's the oldest and most inviolable law of science, logic, and reason. Any of you who ever took debate or studied any of the rational philosophers, remember the statement, ex nihilo nihilo fit, out of nothing, nothing comes, and chance is nothing. This is rational suicide. So when scientists attribute instrumental power to chance, listen carefully, they have left the domain of reason. They have left the domain of science. They have turned to pulling rabbits out of hats. They have turned to fantasy. And then all scientific investigation becomes chaotic and absurd because it can't really yield what it should yield because they won't allow it to. Today, the absurdity of evolution goes largely unchallenged, and all these universities and colleges, they keep pounding on this stuff. Every time I pick up a Newsweek or a Time magazine, I get another one of these wild kind of evolutionary articles, particularly because I read National Geographic. I'm exposed to that as well. And they keep trying to make us believe that chance exists as a force, and that everything by chance spontaneously generated. Nobel laureate, George Wald, brilliant man, I quote him, "One has only to wait. Time itself performs the miracles. Given so much time, the impossible becomes possible, the possible probable, and the probable actually certain," end quote. What in the world is that? That is just double talk. That is absolutely meaningless. Self-creation is absurd, no matter how much time, because chance does not exist. Doesn't exist. There's no explanation of the universe without God. I'll give you one little scientific illustration. Have you ever heard of quantum theory? Well, you've heard about a quantum leap. People say somebody made a quantum leap. Let me tell you where that comes from. Quantum theory goes back to a scientist, Max Planck, who in 1900 presented the theory that energy comes in discrete units called quanta. Now, I'm not going to take you too deep here because I can't go too deep myself. But energy can be broken down into units, and he said these units, identifiable units, are called quanta. In 1927, Werner Heisenberg, a German physicist, found that when a photon strikes an atom, it boosts an electron into a higher orbit. And when that occurs, the electron moves from the lower to the upper orbit, listen to this, simultaneously without having transversed the intervening space. That's a quantum leap. Let me say that again. When a photon hits an atom, it boosts an electron to a higher orbit from the lower orbit simultaneously, but it never transverses the space in between. What happens is the electron ceases to exist at one point and simultaneously comes into existence at the other point. This is the famous quantum leap. It goes out of existence and comes into existence simultaneously. All the time, in all the atoms, all the time, through all of created history, it keeps doing that. By chance? To say it's a quantum leap doesn't explain it. There's only one thing that explains it, and that is the ongoing creative power of God. He sustains the universe and its creation by keeping up all the necessary creative acts, even down to the level of an electron in an atom. He upholds all things, Hebrews 1, by the word of his power.
Now we want to hear from you. Here's the address, gty.org/audioblog. That's gty.org/audioblog.